We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going to play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. With Drolo and Dibs.
All right, here we go. Time to go to work. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Happy Friday. We have got a monster show for you today. Although it is not Monster Monday, that will be obviously Monday. This is a Football Friday, as we've been told. Football Friday brought to you by our friends at Oaks Card Club. Play it smart. Play at Oaks. And Xfinity. So many things to get to today. Let's start with the guest list. Adam Kaplan, NFL insider, 95.7 The Game football insider, set to join us in 1 hour. Should the Niners pursue Miami Dolphins safety Minka Fitzpatrick? We'll ask him that. We'll see what the price that Miami's looking for would be. You know him as the Cowboy. You love him as the five-time Pro Bowl defensive lineman for the San Francisco 49ers, Justin Smith, at 8:30. At 8:45, two big things are happening. One, we've got two pairs of tickets to Raiders Chiefs. We're giving those away, 8:45. Then, man versus machine. Good news. Man leads 1-0 after last week's victory. And our good friend, Super Bowl champ Eric Davis at 9:30. But if you have a robust round of applause, and I mean robust, Dibs, please play it for me right now.
Let me give you all I got here, Joe. This is huge.
The news breaks yesterday. 122 individuals from the modern era have been placed on the Class of 2020 NFL Hall of Fame ballot, one of which is our very own Lorenzo LeVon Neal.
Feels like the State of the Union right now.
Well, congratulations.
Where's the jokes?
Congratulations.
I'm waiting.
No, there's no jokes.
Wait for it.
The Fresno joke's okay. At 9:50. It's
okay.
Friday.
We're going to slow roll the Hall of Fame jokes, too, because this is serious business. This is like our show's crossed a barrier. Congratulations, big man.
Oh, we are all on the ballot. It's not just you. There are no jokes. It's all for one or one for all. Here's some details. 122 names are on the list. Those 122 will be whittled down to 25 in November and then 15 in January, and then the Saturday before the Super Bowl, the 48-member Hall of Fame committee will select the class. The class of the 122 breaks down like this. 63 on offense, 43 on defense, 16 on special teams. Proving once again, special teams are not a third, as I have been saying long ago. Lots of running backs on the list. Interesting competition for you. A few fullbacks. You're on it. Mike Allstott's on it, Larry Centers, Moose Johnston, and then two guys you blocked for, Eddie George and Corey Dillon.
I think all those guys are deserving. I'd love to see Eddie George or Corey Dillon. Both those guys are worthy of a Hall of Fame nod. What they was able to do for the National Football League is unbelievable. Eddie George, MVP of the league. I think that the biggest thing for me, just personally, is to have one of those fullbacks represented in the Hall of Fame. I think when you look at Larry Centers and his body of work, what he was able to do, Mike Allstott, and Moose Johnston, these are guys that I believe that someone should be in. I think that when you say that, we joke around about offense counts as third, defense, and special teams. If that's the case, and you got Ray Guy, and you got punters in the league, you got all, field goal kickers, all those different guys in the league, I think there should be a fullback. And even if it's not me, without a doubt, there should be one of those guys that make it in.
Tell us how it went yesterday. How did you find out about this? Did someone text you? Did they notify you? And how'd you feel?
About 95.7 A Game.
You found out from us.
Absolutely.
Nice.
I got the little text and got a little, someone DM'd me on 95.7 A Game, sent it on, hey, and I saw it on my little feed, Instagram feed. I was like, okay, there we go.
Surprised it wasn't a little low.
Oh, he called me. Of course, I got a DM from him. Oh, can you call your son? you haven't talked to. You know, of
I need 300 bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, like, congratulations.
Right. I called him up. I was like, oh, I'm glad you finally called me. Oh, you made the Hall of Fame. I was like, whatever. Don't even. You're the one who's been taking over the media by storm, little buddy.
You are. There are some awesome names on this list. Like, whatever happened, we're all obviously rooting for you. It goes without saying.
Yeah, right.
But look at some of the names you're on here with. Edgerrin James is on the list this year. Reggie Wayne's on the list. Troy Polamalu is on the list this year.
Some hell of players. Troy's getting in. Troy Polamalu, friggin' he's a first ballot. The guy was unbelievable. Unbelievable safety. What he was able to do. Edge is a great running back. There's a lot of guys that's worthy of the Hall of Fame, that's not even on it. I think guys, you know, yesteryears should be on there. It's just amazing how this, it's that just goes to show you how much competition, how fierce it is, tough it is, you know, to be in the Hall of Fame and just be on a list of 120 out of all the thousands and hundreds of thousands of guys who played in this league. Just to be on a list is really neat.
No, it's great, and we're so happy for you. And it's the second time you've made it to this stage, and so. The thing you said about fullbacks is absolutely true, and that's why last time around we had the slogan, break the seal with Lo Neal, because there is no fullback in there, and there should be a fullback in there,
but
why not have it be somebody who blocked for a multitude of 1,000-yard backs, and by the way, was a part of one of the most iconic plays in sports history. Forget just football. So you have enough feathers in your cap to where you can make a legitimate case to at least advance to the next round.
Can we do T-shirts? Because I had a really good idea that we've been kicking around. Basically, this is the 2020 Hall of Fame class. 2020 is an election year, so we wanted to make it look like a campaign banner. So, like, you know how you would see Clinton Gore or Trump Pence? We want to have one that just says, Lo Neal, and then you have the year 2020, and then a phrase like, break the seal with Lo Neal,
right.
Make fullbacks great again. If you don't love fullbacks, you don't love America. That one's a little bit more aggressive, but would you be okay if we did something like that?
Oh, Joe, you put some serious thought in this. Let's do it.
Tons of it, dude. Like, tons of it. I think these T-shirts would be awesome.
I love that. That'd be
awesome. You'd be okay with it?
Absolutely.
Because I'm going to be misappropriating both your image and your likeness and your name,
right.
So I kind of need a verbal approval for the billions
and
a year.
And there will be
no lawsuit.
Yeah, next to no recompense for you.
You will not be financially compensated for any of this. I want to be very clear.
So
that will be largely me.
So if the shirts sell, say if you guys make these shirts and all of a sudden the billions, since we got billions. Let's just say only 20% of the billions bought. What's our cut? Do I get any? Are you guys?
Well, you're already on the Hall of Fame ballot. What more do you want?
Wow.
How greedy are you?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's, you know,
I'm voting for Allstock.
To pull back the curtain, as Joe is churning out T-shirts and we're making money hand over fist, the campaign was all started yesterday by my discovery that the list was out. So I took it over to the social media team. Social media team immediately took to Twitter to blow up the great image, and that's how this whole thing started.
Oh, wow.
Not that they wouldn't have found out anyway, but I just happened to be here doing a little Golazo Supremo soccer podcast.
Is that out now?
Yeah, it's out now.
Is Messi leaving Barcelona?
No, but he's not happy with the situation.
Find out what Rick Tittle and Dan Dibley think. Where can they find that?
That's online at the podcast network. I also pulled
something. It's on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, I pulled out a little Gareth Southgate, too, out of my Southgate, which is nice. You can enjoy that. It's out there, but...
Nice job globbing onto the Hall of Fame mention.
You know, you had to do that. Golazo Supremo, episode 27 now in the podcast.
You've done 27 of those?
Yeah, we've been churning them out quietly.
Jeez, good for you guys.
Yeah, we're moving through it.
You think you'll get an Oscar? Is this one? Is this one of your finest hours?
No, it's definitely one of our top 20 episodes, though.
Definitely top 20.
It's not bottom 7, sure. For sure. Top
12. You won't be totally disappointed is how they're billing it.
Yeah. Joe, he just moved it to top 12.
Yeah, top 12. Because that's how we like to do it on this program.
Could you imagine getting in the Canton, and as you're being brought in, probably by limousine, beautiful wife on your arm, shaking hands with all these dignitaries, you look out in the crowd, and you see Dibs and I in the back hawking $5 T-shirts. No. Just raking money hand over fist.
True friend, if I'm in there, true friend, I throw the potato in there. Some kind of way. If you guys are there, it's the potato.
It's so great. We would definitely
do that.
There'd be a bingo card for his Hall of Fame speech.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
We'll do that.
We'll definitely
do that. But you can't go up there with the shenanigans. It's the Hall of Fame. You can't be in there. Using Horocious and all that other stuff.
Oh, grilled cheese has got to be in there.
Yeah, no, you can't. Come on, you can't be doing that.
You don't think we can make this work?
I mean, I absolutely think we could. But it's about whether or not we should.
I think there has to be, and I couldn't agree with you more. A sure has got to get in there, and I digest.
Those are all right.
All those.
Who would induct you? You'd have to have someone induct you. Have you ever thought about that?
I have not. I think I'm thinking about it right now.
What we were talking about yesterday in the pit out there in the bullpen was if you only had to choose between Joe and myself, which one of us would you go to?
Oh, that's so easy.
Oh, it's a landslide. Absolutely. It's not even close. I'll tell you guys on the other side of the break.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's Hall of Fame radio right there.
Give me some.
That's Hall of Fame radio right there. Nicely done. All right. Thursday night football, a disastrous final drive. If anyone watched that, that was a sweet 39-minute, 22-replay final drive. I really enjoyed it. But there are good pieces of information to take away from that game that pertain to the Niners and the Bengals this weekend. That is next. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
I'm just reminded of our conversation every year about Thursday night football and how it's just dreck. Absolute trash.
They're not going to get rid of it. They're not going to get rid of it because it's a moneymaker, but I got it. It wasn't even on Fox last night. Like, Joe Buck's calling the game with Aikman on NFL Network, and the Dodgers are on KTVU.
Right.
So I'm watching this, and I'm like, I don't. Why is this so much work for me? Why is it so much work for me to watch a lousy product? Anyway, here's how it ended.
Fourth down and half a yard. Direct snap. They fake the toss. McCaffrey. Depends where they put it. What a play by Hargraves out on the edge, and he did not get it. Tampa Bay is going to win this game with that defensive stop.
Idiots. You needed 6 inches. You got Cam Newton, who's the size of California, and you move him out to the wing, which clearly indicates it's a direct snap to McCaffrey, and then you try Philly special, but you botch it. McCaffrey's sprinting for the edge. He gets hit. He doesn't carry through because you ran to the short side. You ran to the boundary rather than the field, and then the Panthers lose 20-14. This is overreaction week. You're going to see a lot of this weekend. People looked at this and said, Tampa Bay's terrible. Carolina's good. I like Carolina. I'll be the first to admit that. I mean, why don't they just sneak it?
Get the first down. You could have got it. You only needed 3 inches to get a first, and then you'd have been first and goal.
Why are they so against it? We keep seeing this.
With a minute 40 left, you score. I mean, just this is here Norvell trying to outsmart someone. And Joe, you were talking about it earlier this morning when you and I saw one another.
This is a coffee room take.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. You said when you're in that type of situation, whether it's fourth and goal, fourth and two, fourth and three, Tom Brady's touching the ball. You go fourth and two, fourth and one, Drew Brees is touching the ball. Go around the National Football League. Go look at Mahomes is touching the ball. Go around the National Football League and go look at their number one players. They are touching the ball in that situation. Carolina made it last night. That's the decision to say, who's the best guy on the team? Who's the guy that I want the ball? And they took it out of Cam Newton's hand.
I'm happy to know that at 4 a.m., I'm there just providing takes for you to just completely – you just blatantly ripped me off on that
one. Well, you blatantly ripped me off when you said that you said they were trying to Philadelphia, not Philadelphia, but who was the team? Who's the team? Jacksonville. Jacksonville's going to get the quarterback. I mean, I said that. I think I said that Monday about Jacksonville. Here's a situation for Mullins to go to Jacksonville. He's hurt. You drive up the price. San Francisco Beach can trade for him.
You're saying that was your take?
First thing I said. You can check the tape.
At 6 a.m.
6 a.m.
You were trying to trade Nick Mullins.
I said.
All right.
I said,
touché to you, sir.
Yeah, remember I said Jacksonville.
But you said it on air. I thought we were allowed to steal things on air. You're stealing my coffee room material now.
I made it even deeper.
Once you say it on the air, it becomes ours.
Oh,
that's been established.
No one benefits from that more than you. We know.
I'm scoring all your stuff, you know? So I've always said, Joe, you're not competing against 31 teams. If I've told you that once, I've told you that 1,000 times.
Here, put them up.
Oh, yeah, we're back to it. The standoff.
What does it mean, though, last night? Tampa Bay wins this game. Tampa Bay goes out. The final's 20-14. You don't need to go back and see the highlights. There were none. Do we look at Garoppolo differently now? Because Cam Newton wasn't all that good. 24-50. He didn't even complete 50% of his passes. 324 yards, no touchdowns. 3 sacks. He didn't look good, and I know he's banged up, but he was at home. He had a big advantage that Garoppolo didn't. So we knocked Garoppolo all week. He performed as well as Newton did against this defense. And then what do we say about the Niners? How many people wanted to call in on Monday and say, well, you know, it's just Tampa Bay. Tampa's 1-1. That's a big road win on a Thursday night against the Panthers.
Yeah, it's a good Tampa team. I tell you what, they're right in the thick of things. I think that when you're dealing with a short week like that, a lot of the analysis gets thrown out the window because you don't know how Carolina responded after their tough week one game against the Rams when they had a physical game and a physical loss. You come home, you play a second game at home against the Tampa team, coming off 4 days. It's hard to really compare and contrast, but I think you look at the Niners' defense and you say, that's a legitimate unit. I don't know if I give Jimmy G the same props after what Cam Newton was unable to do.
I just think that you're never as good as you think you are, and you're never as bad as you think you are as well. I think a lot of people got to realize that. You talked about it. We're talking about the second week in the National Football League. A lot of teams that people think sucks going to rise up and play because they're in a tough situation. That's what we look no further than this week, this game this week that the San Francisco 49ers are playing in against the Cincinnati Bengals. Here's a situation where the Bengals are in a situation if they want to keep their season viable, this is a big game for them. No matter who's up, who's down, I disagree with nice guy Steven talking about Jimmy, all the different guys. Oh, they don't need him. Talking about different players on the Niners.
The 5 a.m. show.
Yeah, listening to Steven, he came
nice hot. Guy, turn the mic on. You're going to be able to jump in here.
Yeah, because I want him to. I mean, oh, they don't need Nick. This game, oh, they don't have Mixon. They don't have their running back. And, oh, it's the Cincinnati Bengals. You're crazy. Last night, for you to say that after watching last night game, Steven, shame on you. Shame on you.
All right, well, if he's done in the middle of the season, then come and talk to me because I think they need to limit Nick Bosa's amount of snaps this upcoming game. I'm not saying they need to take him out completely.
Has he hurt his ankle the first play of the game now? Because, look, the guy's hurt, but is he injured?
Let's do this. Bosa Watch is at 6:30.
Yeah.
Bosa Watch, so we'll do a full thing on Bosa Watch at 6:30. Let all of that marinate. Only there was a show sheet.
I know, nice guy. Ahead, I know you. Yeah. I know you rip and run at five, but we got structure here, my man.
Bosa Watch at 6:30. We will get into all of that then. But I mean, Tampa's defense. At the very least, we now have two games of evidence. They did a nice job against the Niners. Niners only had 275 total yards in that game, and then at the same time, they went out and they limited Carolina last night and got the big goal line stop. At the very least, you have to sit here and say Carolina can, or Tampa Bay can play a little defense. They can play a little bit of defense.
Yep.
So to go down there and hang 31, I know 14 of which came via pick sixes, I think it makes the Niner win look better.
It looks better, I think, from a defensive standpoint because of just what you said. The offense only generated 17 points, and the Tampa defense is good. Cincinnati's defense, I think, is on par. When you look at the way they played against Seattle, you look at the improvements they've made, and the way that their front knife through that Seattle offensive line. I think the Niners offense.
Good OJ reference.
Appreciate it. Pay the under. I should probably the over by now.
Yeah, that's 6.4. That's an under.
Still an underplay, but I think when you look at the Tampa defense and you look at the Cincinnati defense, you're going to see that the Niners struggle equally this week as they did last week, in my opinion.
Carolina now 0-2, and they were both home games. 0-2, and they were both home
Trouble.
Games. As you're talking about the Niners and a potential wild card, that's one of the teams that suddenly looks to be in very, very big danger. I mean, they've got 14 to go, only 6 of which are going to be at home. That's a bad spot to be in, right?
You're in a horrible spot. You lose 2 games, and that's the way you start off the season at home, 6 more at home. This is going to be very interesting for the Carolina Panthers.
It's 12% when you start out 0-2, and I think that percentage is even lower
at
if
home.
You start out 0-2 at home.
12% to make the playoffs.
Yes.
12%. It's got to be lower. Yeah, it's got to be lower. If it's
your 0-2 at home, that's got to be closer to 6 or 7%.
That
Riverboat
really
Ron
good.
Might be, his seat might be sizzling a little bit here pretty soon.
This is the number one reaction all the time when this happens. I want to come back to it. Why don't you just sneak the ball with Newton? Why do teams not do that? Every idiot drinking beers last night, myself included,
wow,
is watching that game going, this is a Newton sneak. That's it. It's the most obvious thing on the board. You need 6 inches. It's Cam Newton. Why? As soon as I see him in shotgun, I'm thinking, why are you starting him 6 yards deep? And then he runs out to the side. Just what are you doing? Why do teams insist on going away from that? Are they afraid he's going to get hurt? It's football.
Yeah.
Everybody's hurt.
They try to outsmart people. The teams do that.
You think that's what it is? They're just trying to be too clever?
Every single time. I mean, if it was fourth and less than a yard, I wouldn't even think about anything but a quarterback sneak. You want to turn around. Me and Dibs talked about this all last year. You want to turn around, hand it to a guy, quarterback steps back 2 yards, running back's at 7, and now you're going back 3. 5-6 yards to hand it to a guy to go make a half a yard. It's hard to do that, especially when it's on short yardage, because the defensive line is taught to submarine. They're going low, creating a new line of scrimmage. When your quarterback's sneaking, at least you have that opportunity to meet force with force right at the point of a tap, and because everybody is not going to meet when they're blocked. You got 8 guys now because you're in heavy personnel. Everybody, it's almost impossible for every man to win their hold their blocks.
Like,
almost
Newton impossible. Gets under center.
Yes.
He gets the snap. He jumps straight up, and he sticks his hands over. The refs always give that to you. It's not like the refs are going to be like, well, is he short? They're just going to be, it looks close enough. We're good with it. We're going to mark it, and we're going to move on.
They're already giving him generous spots throughout that fourth quarter.
That video is incredible.
Yeah.
Because you know, I'm on this situation for a variety of props, and I'm looking there, and I'm like, man, he didn't get it. And then he throws it to the guy. The guy takes 2 steps forward, puts it down. I'm like, he's got it by a mile. You don't even need to measure it. How does that happen? I don't know. You can drive a car on Mars, but you can't spot a football from 4 feet away. It's unbelievable. All of that, unfortunately for them, is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Fremont Bank, they sneak on 4th and 1, and they get it. They don't pull this bootleg, crap Philly special that doesn't end up working like the Carolina Panthers. Shout out Ron Rivera and the Panthers. Great decision-making last night. We got the big Bosa watch thing. Apparently, it's already heated between nice guy Steven and Lowe, so we'll tee that up next. But first, here's Steven Langford with what's coming up on the game.
Thank you, Joe. What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. The 49ers are getting ready for the Bengals on Sunday, but there has been some trade news. Miami Dolphins safety Minkah Fitzpatrick has been given permission to seek a trade from the Dolphins. What's his trade value? Well, the guys will discuss that and more with 95.7 The Game NFL insider Adam Kaplan coming up at 7. 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa was a non-participant at practice this week. Should they limit his snaps if he does play this Sunday? The guys will talk to former defensive lineman for the 49ers, the legendary Justin Smith, the Cowboy, at 8:30. Remember, you can take Jolo and Dibs on the go. Download the radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. Lose weight eating the food you love. Now save $50. Plus, get a week of protein pack shakes free at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. Coming up, Bosa Watch, my guy, on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Man versus Machine at 8:45, right after we give away Raiders-Chiefs tickets. We've got 2 pair to give away at 8:45, then we'll play Man versus Machine. We have the PlayStation Simulate the Game on Madden 20, the ever-popular NFL video game. That result is in this sealed envelope. No one has seen it. No one.
Oh, my God.
Which would beg the question, how did the result get into the envelope? I'll leave that for you to figure out with Joe Rogan on his podcast. But the result is in here for the machine. Man will be us. We will make the pick later, and then we will compare results. It's against the spread, and at the end of the year, either the machines take over the world or we rise up like John Connor. And, though, you can be Sarah Connor.
We can do it!
And we shut down the machines. We shut down Skynet. So Man versus Machine, 8:45, right after we give away Raider tickets. Cowboy Justin Smith, 8:30 this morning. Mark that one down, too.
Love that guy.
All right, 6:30, you know what we're doing.
Bosa Watch.
My guy.
Hasn't practiced all week. This was funny when we were doing this with the contract, and then it was like, oh, we'll bring it back for the injury, and now we're doing it every week. I mean, I'm concerned, I guess, would be one thing to throw out there. Not getting any practice in. Now you've got people making the case, should you shut him down so he can get fully healthy? Do you limit his snaps? I'm going to come to you first, Lo, because apparently you took exception with what Langford had to say from 5 to 6 a.m. this morning on this. So why don't you go ahead and state your case?
You know, Joe, you always come in and you say, when Steven do a good job, you and Dibs always say, hey, man, you're licking your chops. You're doing a good job. Energy. You guys tell him how he does. I'm like, wow. They're giving him props, and I see him
trying to mentor
out.
The youth.
You guys do. You mentor him well. Dibs like, hey, you know, get on him, drops in there and pushing him. And the young fella, you know, like Lou Holtz said, talks about a story. A mom's mad at him, upset because he's pushing her son too much. And the mom says, you pushing my son? He's complaining. And Lou keeps pushing him. And Lou Holtz says he tells a story. He takes the kid to the top of the mountain, and he pushes him, and the guy flies, meaning that he's going to continue to push no matter what. And you guys continue to do that for Lamford. But Steven, nice guy, he means well, but he has no idea what he's talking about. Talking about, oh, Nicky Bosa now, he's going to be hurt, and he's not going to play, they're going to shut him down, and he might be injured and out for the year. It's a high ankle sprain. Newsflash, it's not a chip bone. You can't break it. You can't damage it. You got to play through it. It's just pain. It can be nagging, like you guys talk about, Joe. How long is it nagging? It can nag you the whole year. But it's not nothing that you can sit and say, oh, you can't play. Can you tolerate the pain? That's the main thing. For you, young Steven, I get it, but you're wrong and you're out of line.
Oh, was it felt like an uptick opportunity there?
It would have been a 10-8 round. I think he's also trying to mentor the youngster a little bit. You didn't want to cuff him around too badly, but you had him with high ankle sprain. Medically, you broke him down. Steven, I don't know if you can respond or even if you want to after that motorboating.
Look, can't they at least further the injury, though, from a high ankle sprain if they do play him for a majority of the snaps in this upcoming matchup? I'm just saying I'm not saying he doesn't need to play. I'm saying you can have him in there for a limited amount of snaps.
Similar to week one, he was limited in week one. Is that what you want to see in week two?
Yes. Even less than almost, because you got Andy Dalton going up, and they got the fourth toughest schedule, I believe, as far as quarterbacks are concerned, going into this season. And you're going to
need these more of your next-gen stats?
Next-gen stats of Dice Guy, Steve. You're going to need him more, I think, toward the middle to the end of the season than right now to face Andy Dalton. I think Eric Armstead, too, looked okay in that last game. Give him some more reps. See if he can actually take over for Solomon Thomas, who only had 12 snaps in this last
but
game.
But, Steven,
I find myself siding more towards Langford. Like Tony Reale, I'll side towards the stats guys.
No. Here's where you got to think about this.
All you did was insult him. He came out with real credible information.
Credible. So you'd rather lose.
Those are the
this?
Points, by the way, from Tony Reale going to Nice Guy Steven.
Yeah, basically, he was Marsha Clark. You're out there Johnny Cochran and everything, but I am not a jury
then,
that's going to be duped.
If it doesn't fit, then you must have quit. Here's the thing. You're sitting there saying, oh, this is a game, and he's downplaying the Cincinnati Bengals. That's where he's
I don't agree with. I did not like that. I think this is a very formidable opponent.
It's a very formidable. And so now take this L, because if you don't have this young fella, if you take this L and you guys are talking about the rest of the season when the meat of the potato is going to come in about 3 or 4 weeks, when you're going to have to play Carolina, Green Bay, all those teams, Atlanta, all.
Carolina game suddenly looks a lot better.
But you're racking up points here. Yeah, and then you're going to sit here and say, oh, this game is just okay? That's where I differ from you. Play the young fella. He's going to be fine. He's in a situation. He can't hurt anymore. It's about pain tolerance. Can he handle the pain?
So this injury cannot get worse, in your opinion?
Right.
Okay, that's interesting. Dibley, you've been listening to all of this as
well.
No, this
is great. I got 7-5 low right now. It's a seesaw. It's a back and forth. It's neck and neck. I felt like Nice Guy might have backed the truck up a little bit, reverting on his take, because of course he's going to be limited. He's not going to play 60 snaps. He's going to be in the rotation.
I let that slide.
I know you did, and you're a bigger man because of that, and that's partly why I continue to admire you more and more each and every show, Lo. And thank you, Bob Myers. Bob and the Billions coming up at 8:55 as we learn to love Lo. I think that he will play. I don't know if it's a situation where it can't get worse, because you could get into grade 2, grade 3, ligaments could be involved. So I kind of differ from what Lo's saying about the severity of the injury getting worse. This is a great battle, though. I'm really enjoying it, Joe.
Me too. Do you consider the idea of sitting him so that it could get healthier, right? We're talking about the idea of if it can't get worse, okay, great, send him out there. What about the idea of not playing him just so it can get healthy and then you can get more out of him down the road?
I know you're the moderator, but you deserve a couple.
Thanks.
For that.
Thanks. No, I feel good. Yeah, like Woody Page.
Yeah. I think it's...
Where's your chalkboard?
I it's sort of like if you have a finger and it's a spring finger and you buddy tape it and it hurts for a little bit. And before you know it, it still hurts, but you got used to it that it doesn't hurt as much. That you're able to play through things because you're starting to get intolerant. You hurt every time. Every time you drop back and you're up there playing, you were hurting. Not that you couldn't play. But sometimes you get to a point where maybe it's your shoulder, it's sore, dips your knee, all those different things. Now you take rest. It's not going to necessarily get better. Yeah, it feel better a little bit, but you still go out there and you're going to gut it out. And you're like, it's still hurting me, but you just get used to it. That's how this high ankle sprain thing is. You see guys, they'll get it, hurts earlier, then it starts getting a little bit better. And even though it's still in pain, they say, oh, I can be resting it. Yeah, you can rest it, but you're still going to be tight when you get back out there and you're going to work into it. Limit the snaps like we talked about doing with the guy, and I think he's going to continue to get more and more healthy. Hell, it's the NFL. It's soft. It's a soft NFL. You're not hitting.
Yeah.
You only in pads friggin' 16 times in the whole season. You're not in pads a lot. Suck it up, young fella. Suck it up.
Langford, would you like to drop one more word?
I just think that the offensive line group of the Bengals is the weakest group of that entire team. Their defense is something to be reckoned with, so you're going to need to get more out of Jimmy Garoppolo in that offense. I don't think the defense is going to have to be a point of emphasis in this game.
Interesting. Very nicely done. We'll let you decide if you want to jump in. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. How concerned are you about the Nick Bosa status? Hasn't practiced all week. Would you shut him down for this game? We've also got to talk about expectations. Interesting comments Kyle Shanahan made about rookie wide receiver Deebo Samuel. We'll play those for you next. It's Jolo and Dibs here on Around the Horn. I mean, Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Lynch, 49er general manager, joined us yesterday and said he was expecting him to play in a limited capacity, which is fine. But how do you want to handle it moving forward? I mean, you got Pittsburgh next week. Then you'll have the bye. You got to hope that when he comes off that bye, and this is one of the troubling angles of having a bye so early in the season, he comes off that healthy, or that injury is going to be with him all year, right?
Yeah, and you don't want to have that injury lingering when you get deeper in the season, and as a rookie, low, you would imagine that other parts of playing your first NFL season are wearing on you a little bit, whether it's fatigue or generally getting wound down to have the ankle nagging as well. You always say that when you're trying to favor an injury or something that's an ailment, something else might crop up as a result.
Yeah, it's very, 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 very possible that those things can happen. It just, you know, don't know how high is it, because, you know, you have, you know, your tibula and fibula and non-weight bearing bone, and it's kind of those kind of that ligament that runs next side of it and right next to it, and you get it's always sore and tight when you get the ankle sprain, and it's like, feel like it's like clicking, but it's like not cartilage, but it's just that kind of like muscle, but it's not ripping, you're not tearing it, you can't pop it. It's not like, I know the text line talking about, oh, where KD thought that, yeah, that's the calf muscle and Achilles, all that stuff. This is different. It's not bone. So you're not breaking it. It's not cracked. It's not fractured. So it's just that, you know, can you tolerate the pain? I've seen guys, you know, and go through 6-7 weeks that they're just don't practice hardly at all. Go through a couple walkthroughs, practice on Friday, suck it up, and just go on game day. And seeing guys be able to do it. And then after the 6 or 7, 5, 6 weeks, see guys starting to get more, but more used to it, start healing more, and they get out there and play. But I've seen it lagger for 7, 8, 9 weeks. They really have.
From the 908 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, low in a landslide. That's why Nice Guy is on before anyone wakes up.
Sorry, Steven, but that is a text of the day nominee. That might be the text of the day, actually.
It's still early. Let's not bury the young guy just yet. I thought you did a nice job. You presented quite well. It's tough to go up against a juggernaut like Lo Neal, who's on the 122-page person list of Hall of Fame. Whatever. What is this? It's I don't know how to phrase it properly. There's 122 names that are on the 2020 ballot. You are on it. It's not. Is it semifinalist? What
nominees.
Do I call it?
Nominees. He's a nominee.
You're a nominee. Kind of like the Democratic primary. You get 30 of them up there.
Yeah. Jeez.
Everyone gets 5 seconds.
That was
yes.
So great.
Thank you for your information.
See you in a half an hour,
right.
Kamala.
Right.
Tough break, you know?
Wow.
We didn't hear from any of them for very long. But
they just disappear up there. It's not really the greatest format with which to get to know someone and their plans, but whatever. But you did a nice job. You go up against Lowe's a juggernaut. People love Lowe.
Text was from the 908. That's in Jersey, so I'll take that with a grain of salt.
Nice. 908 is New Jersey?
Nice.
Am I
bad? Yeah, I Googled it.
The Portugal of America is what they call that.
Wow.
Just look at the map. Jersey and Portugal look like mirror images of one another. The Portuguese were very upset when I made that comment a few weeks back. I don't know why I revisited it, because it's not like it's going to win. No one out there is like, oh, I love his Portuguese material. It's so good. It's so good. There should be more of it, right?
As long as you don't compare Lisbon to Newark, I think we're safe. Lisbon greater than Newark. Sorry, Newark.
How are you going to do that to Cory Booker? He's up there talking about Newark all night.
That's my guy.
That's my guy.
All right, no politics. We're just kidding around. Remember, don't take everything so seriously.
Jeez.
If you're driving around right now, just a couple jokes. That's how we live our lives. Kyle Shanahan last night or yesterday afternoon talking to the media about rookie wide receiver Deebo Samuel.
I think he learned what the NFL's like. You know, I think that was our fault for playing him too much. That's what I was talking about earlier. We should have had Dante in for more and taken those reps down a little bit. But that's the standard in this league and how hard you have to go and how every play matters. I think he learned that. And, you know, there's some good learning examples in that game. He did some good things for us, but he also played like a rookie at times too. And to be able to do that and still get away with the win, where you can be hard on him for certain things, I think it was a good learning moment for him.
help me out with something here.
Yeah.
So Shanahan's telling me this week that Pettis should have played more snaps. He doesn't understand why he only played two. That's on him. Now he's saying Debo played too many. What, I mean, don't you go in with a game plan where you kind of have an understanding of who's going to be on the field and who isn't?
Coaches are creatures of habit. Debo makes that big third down catch. Put him in the game. You know, he's looked like he's going on.
I like
something.
Him. I want to see him.
And you will. And trust me, you're going to see him. And he's going to be a staple in this offense. What'd he say? He played too much and he realized the speed of the game. If you listen to Kyle Shanahan's comments that it's the NFL, you got to play fast, got to play those things. He's talking about in the run game. I told you guys, look at that play, and I guarantee in the meeting, they showed the play, and he got to see what the NFL is about. They ran a play to the running back. I think it wasn't Mostert. It was Breida, and he was running really well, picked up like 10, 12 yards toward the end of the game. Debo's on the same side. He comes down. He doesn't block. If he makes a block, it might be a bigger play. If he makes one block, it could be a big play, and it's a chance that he might have took it to distance. You're talking about a Breida who they call Breida the Cheetah who can run. You make that block, you would have freed him up. And Shanahan's got to call those guys out. So he's running downfield, Joe, and he gets a little lackadaisical, starts looking at the play and watching other things that's going around, not finishing. I came in and talked about those plays. Mark those things down that are teaching moment for the coaching staff, for those players to understand. You go from snap to whistle, and there were some moments out there that Debo did not finish plays, and I think it showed up in that team meeting and when they're watching film, Dib.
Well, he played 88% of the snaps, so 60 snaps in all, and Pettis only got the two. And that, to me, is galling. And that's more than just the position coach maybe getting caught up in the moment or, you know, Shanahan realizing that he played the rookie too much. To me, that's almost a statement breakdown to where Pettis can only be out there for two plays. Do you see the balance being much more even between those two going into this week?
You have to, because if you do that, now Pettis on those block plays, those run plays, Pettis is going to make that block. The next time Debo's in that situation, watch Debo. I guarantee you he blocks better this next game. Guaranteed. Because they're going to show those plays. Hey, we're going to get you out. We thought you could play, thought you could handle this amount of reps, but you showed that you couldn't. We're going to get someone else in there. I think by not playing Pettis a lot, what does that do for Pettis? I know if my butt wasn't playing a lot and I didn't have the opportunity to get out on the field and the coach and you look at the coach and you're upset that whole week you go through practice, you're practicing hard, but you want to make a statement. You're like, okay, if this is how they view, evidently they view you that way. So what are you going to do about it to change it, Pettis? He's going to have opportunity to be on the field. We're going to see the first play of the game. If it's a run, is he coming there at that safety and knock him stiff? We're going to see what is he going to do. What are you going to do on your routes? Are you going to finish your routes, catch the ball, get those yak yards? He's going to have opportunity. Now you got to go out and deliver because you know that you're on a short leash. You know that you need to perform, and you need to perform well if you want to continue to get your reps. You can't just go to blackjack table and keep playing and you run out of money and say, oh, I want to keep playing. It doesn't work like that.
Well, I disagree. You can get a marker.
Not all the time. Not if you run out of that money. You can go in a hole a little bit. So you got to earn that money back.
Marker.
Yeah, exactly. Marker.
No more markers.
I'm still trying to figure out, and Adam Kaplan's going to join us in 3 minutes here, Justin the Cowboy Smith at 8:30, and we've got Chiefs Raiders tickets to give away at 8:45. I'm still trying to figure out what the game flow is going to look like. Originally, I was thinking more of a defensive struggle. And the more I think about it, I was studying Cincinnati a little bit yesterday. Dalton threw 51 passes against Seattle. Now, there are a few different ways you can throw 51 passes. You can throw 50-plus passes like Kyler Murray, where you're trailing big and your coach decides to air it out on every down and you go overtime. Or you can lead or be tied with your opponent, like the Bengals were, for about 45 minutes of that game. And for the other 15, you're within one score, and you throw 51 times. This ain't college football, and you weren't down big. And you actually weren't down hardly at all in that game, and he threw the ball 51 times. New head coach Zach Taylor from the Sean McVay coaching tree, I'm starting to think that this may be more of a Garoppolo 49er offense type of game, whereas we're going to need you. 20 points might not be enough to get this one done like it was last night between the Bucks and the Panthers. It's starting to feel more and more like you might need to approach 30 with a good defensive effort to have a chance of winning this thing.
It just depends, I think, on how much time Andy Dalton has, because he's going to try to throw it a lot, especially if Joe Mixon's not at 100%. Giovanni Bernard is a good pass catcher out of the backfield as well.
Where do you play in college? Anyone know?
Illinois? No.
North Carolina, but not bad. Illinois could be the North Carolina of the Big Ten.
Of
so
the
not bad.
That's
yeah,
not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Similar programs, the Illini and the Tar Heels in football. But I
Love
think
me.
You look at the tight end, Tyler Eifert, and you know where he went, of course.
Stanford.
Yeah, there you go. Stanford kid.
I got confused. He came out the same year as another. Yeah, I got that. That was a tough one. That shouldn't have been that tough. His year, there were other tight ends that, similar to him, that obviously did not go to Stanford, got me all twisted up.
Yeah, so I think that you look at the wide receivers.
As I derail everything you're trying to do right now.
No, what I'm trying to say is that it depends on how much time he has as to the game flow, because I think that he's going to throw it a lot, but if it's underneath dink and dunk, then you're looking at a lower scoring game, I think.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. The Cowboy, 5-time Pro Bowl defensive lineman Justin Smith at 8:30. Raiders Chiefs tickets to give away at 8:45. Eric Davis at 9:30. But for right now, we go to the dial pad guest line. 95.7 The Game football insider Adam Kaplan, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Adam, good morning. Let's start with the situation in Miami. Second-year defensive back Minka Fitzpatrick. He was a number one overall pick of the Dolphins last year. Not number one overall, but he was their first-round pick last year. He has been given permission by the team to seek a trade. He's clearly not happy. The Niners have a need at the position. Now, who knows if they're actually going to get involved in the sweepstakes here, but do you have any idea what it might cost to acquire Minka Fitzpatrick from the Miami Dolphins?
Well, Joe, good to be with you guys. First of all, let's understand Minka Fitzpatrick is a specialty type of safety. As one personnel guy said to me, you got to know how to use this player. He's a movable chess piece. He's not your typical safety. Unless you have a plan for him, it's not worth the investment. He's not, again, he's just not your typical. Line him up at a certain position, just leave him there. You're going to move him around a lot. It's a guy you'd rather have in your offseason where you could get him into your defense and figure it out. It's just not easy to make trades like this. They're going to want – there's a belief around the league they'll want at least a first-round pick because this guy was a first-round pick, and he's a terrific player. And, yeah, look, the Niners, the safety position, we've talked about this before on the station. It's been a problematic issue. Corner, they're better off. Safety, they've got to be better. And for this team, for the Niners to get where they want to get to be a playoff team, they got to play defensively like they did last week. Their defense was very efficient last week. And I know Jameis Winston turned the ball over a lot. Actually, four times he turned it over. But I think they got to keep the pressure on. It was really good to see them getting off to a really good start. Their D-line, as we suspected, would play well, and it did.
And when you look at this matchup with Cincinnati as it pertains to the offensive line of the Bengals, how does the defensive front for the 49ers match up? Can they wreak the same level of havoc against a Bengal offensive line?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they have four new starters on their offensive line. The only guy who's back is Bobby Hart, their right tackle. We know Bobby Hart gave up a lot of pressures last year. They have a guy named, actually, believe it or not, Michael Jordan, who's their fourth-round pick. He wasn't supposed to play this season, but because of some retirements and injuries, he's having to play. John Miller, formerly of the Bills. He's got Trey Hopkins, who's been a good story of development as an undrafted free agent. He's now starting. They've got a lot of moves here, but the way that they're moving the football, and you're going to see it in this game, John Ross finally, A, is healthy. He's over his hamstring problems. And last year, he was used a lot in the red zone, which is kind of interesting because he's a deep threat. Last week against Seattle, they just kept going deep and deep and deep to him, and he came up big. And Tyler Boyd, who was a breakout player last year, is there, and they could run it. Now, Mixon, by the way, has not practiced yet, and today's the big day for him. He's got a lateral ankle sprain. It's a day-to-day issue. If he can't play Giovanni Bernard, who's been his backup since Mixon was drafted in 17, he would start. But the protection last week against Seattle really surprised me. They were tremendous, and Andy Dalton had a career day. It was almost hard to believe how well he did.
I couldn't agree with you more. Adam, where will this Cincinnati Bengals team offensively and defensively attack this Niners defense, and where would they attack also against the D? The
you know, Zoe, it's interesting. I think what we're seeing, because they're D-line, I thought, did really well last week. I don't think you – last year, you were going to have success against throwing against the Niners secondary because Sherman wasn't himself, and you could throw against him. I think they're just better there. I think they're all back. Sherman, obviously, is – I mean, when I was in training camp for 2 days, I mean, everyone's telling me that he's all the way back. He looks great, and he does. I think that the way that the Niners are going to have to win is they're going to have to win up front with their D-line versus a – brand new revamped Bengal offensive line. I think that's where they can do it. Now, if the Bengals could protect, they're going to go deep. They're going to try to get Ross singled up, and he could run by everybody. Remember, this guy was an elite deep threat, though I still think the Bengals severely overdrafted him in the first round. He should have gone late one, early two instead of early one. And don't forget, Damian Willis is an undrafted free agent who they like. I know he'll be on the field. I think that if the Niners could just rush the passer, and like they did last week, the Bengals will not have anywhere the success that they did last week. Though, let's not forget, though, that the Bengals, as well as they moved the football last week, and they did, they were not as successful, though, score-wise, as you would think. You would think when the quarterback's throwing for over 400 yards that Andy Dalton would just light it up, and he did, but they only scored 20 points, and they only scored 3 points in the second half. It's because the Seahawks started adjusting, and they were way more disciplined in the second half.
95.7 The Game football insider Adam Kaplan with us here on 95.7 The Game. There's been a conversation that's been ongoing in the Bay Area for a couple weeks now. It seems like a lot of guys, insiders like yourself, I'm not saying you specifically, but guys who are very connected to the industry but not necessarily in the Bay Area, have this belief or this notion that if Garoppolo struggles this year, the team is so enamored with Nick Mullins, they could turn the keys to the car over to Mullins. We talked to John Lynch about it yesterday. He gave Garoppolo an endorsement. It didn't sound like it was an overwhelming endorsement, but that, I think, is us just nitpicking. What do you make of that situation? Is Garoppolo on a shorter leash than some may expect?
Joe, I'll give you – here's the way I'll sum it up. If they are – at the midway point, 3-5, and Garoppolo's not playing well, then you could start talking about it. Their defense, which was a problem last season, is vastly improved because they knew it. They had to make a major commitment to improve the front four, and they've done that in a big way. Offensively, look, they don't have Tevin Coleman. It could be a while with a high ankle sprain. When they run it, they want to run it more efficiently. We know what Kyle wants to bring. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo's got to be better. They won last week in spite of him. He didn't play well. He's got to play better.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.